Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Are You Not Kentertained, episode 11. It is Wednesday, October 26, 2016. And I am here with the sexiest bald man alive, Kent Waldron. And, of course, the ever-beautiful Carrie Blowers. Guys, how are we doing today?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
You know, you mentioned me being bald.
Yep.
I mean, that's a fact and everything.
It's been a fact for a long time.
Yeah, it has. But did you know, early Kentucation here, there's a great song. It's a classical song. It's called A Night on Bald Mountain. I highly encourage everybody to listen to it because you know it. It's like from fucking Fantasia. I never knew the name of the song. Hmm. It's fantastic. It's like a creepy, scary thing. It's sweet.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. That's my intro.
And now that is the rest of the show. Folks, we're done. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Of course, with the three of us here, we're always talking about wrestling. And, okay, let's just face it. Raw was terrible this week. Do we all agree with how horrible it was this week?
No, Russ. It was the greatest Raw ever. I sat there on pins and needles in anticipation for the contract signing, the main event that we have never seen, so on and so forth.
I could tell by your voice. The excitement is oozing.
Really, aside from the list of fucking Jericho, you watched the opening segment and then Jericho with Braun Strowman, you could have skipped the whole episode and been totally fine with it.
Except for the last second where he powerbombed him into the turnbuckle, which was great, but that you're right. It was awful. Like
The cruiserweights, but you told me you
I missed that. Yeah, I missed that. Like an idiot.
Stupid idiot.
So we'll get back to that. But because Raw was so bad, we really and let's face it, Raw has been it's just been so redundant, telling us the same things over and over. We don't want to talk about this week. So this week we're gonna have a special. We're taking to court Seth Rollins' number one draft pick. We're trying to debate it. We have Carrie as our judge, and we'll be doing this proper in just a second. We have Kent as the plaintiff and myself as the defendant. Kent's going to be saying that Seth Rollins didn't deserve the number one draft pick. I'm going to be defending that, and Carrie is going to be judging us, like she always does anyway.
That's why I'm just better than you. I knew I was going to get judged on apparel.
If we got judged, yeah, it's true. Well, what are you talking about? I'm dressed in a tuxedo, as far as our audience knows, Ken.
Wink, wink. Blue tuxedo. Canadian tuxedo.
That's right, a Canadian. No, Ken, you did dress up for the occasion. I'll give you props for that. Just nobody can see it.
Don't care. Fuck them all.
Okay.
Fuck all you fans. Yeah, all that's right. How you keep fans.
Yeah, we're going to have tons of them after this. So, all right. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Carrie. All right. So, we'll all rise, please, for the Honorable Judge Carrie Blowers.
I'm going to kneel.
Please be seated.
I'm going to get.
All right. Can I get opening arguments for the plaintiff, please?
Sure. It is in my opinion that Seth Rollins, although drafted number one and at one point a can't-miss prospect, he really just hasn't been developing. I'll show throughout the case here that not only has Rollins been sloppy in the ring, injuring legends and icons, he's been stealing finishing moves, and he hasn't been winning. Like, at what point since he's been drafted number one has he been worth the number one pick when there's been so many other better options? It's not my job to tell you that AJ Styles is better. We all know AJ's better. But it's my job to prove that maybe Seth could have been like number six, seven, someplace in there.
That was compelling. Am I just supposed to go now?
Well, Carrie was muted. I could see her lips.
Thank you, counselor. Right.
Woo! We're going good here. We didn't do our thing, Kat. We didn't do our thing. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
As I was saying, thank you, Counselor. Defense, your opening argument, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my job here tonight is so easy. It's to take Seth Rollins, number one draft pick of Raw, and prove that he truly deserved that number one draft pick status. Now, you're going to see my fancy lawyer friend over there, Kent, try to show you facts. My job here is to prove to you that what Kent is telling you is a complete and utter garbage heap of lies. We're going to go through Seth's great career up to this point. Let's face it, the man carried WWE for a year and a half almost on his own with very little help. And let's face it, with a creative that is about as creative as Kent's tie. So, and if you could see it, well, you could understand. So, as we go through this, you'll see that not only has Seth Rollins earned that number one draft pick spot, but frankly, he'll earn it again if they had to go through it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. All right. I have a couple questions for both counselors. Starting with a question for the plaintiff. You mentioned that you felt that Seth Rollins has not been worth the number one draft pick. What would you have done differently in terms of booking him to prove that he, to kind of show him as the number one draft pick?
So under the assumption that Seth would have been drafted number one, basically you put him as your champion. You don't book him to lose to your number five overall pick, a guy who just made it up to the main roster. You don't book him to lose. That is one of the most asinine booking decisions that WWE has made in a long time. And we're talking about the WWE and their booking decisions, and that still is like right up there, cream of the crop type stuff. So that was baffling. So first of all, have Seth win at SummerSlam, and then let him be that guy that takes on all challengers. If he is that damn good, let him be the catalyst for the whole thing. Like, let him be the guy on the top that takes on good guys, bad guys, every guy in between. And maybe he doesn't injure your number five guy that you just moved up.
Objection! Objection, Your Honor. Objection.
Overruled.
I mean, you know, the ladies had some eye candy for what, like 3 weeks, and then Seth, the careless Mr. Rollins, has to just go and toss him around like he's tossing a child in prison.
Objection, Your Honor. Objection, Your Honor. He is using someone that you find to be more favorable against Seth Rollins. That is hurting my case.
Sustained.
Thank you, Your Honor. Please continue, Kent. As we know, Seth Rollins, there's nobody doesn't want to work with Seth Rollins in the back.
Excuse me, is it your turn?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, go finish your story.
Yeah. God damn it. You're about as fucking interesting as a Charlotte and Sasha contract signing. Ba-ba-ba-boom.
You know, that's that was my, a lot of my people's favorite. Oh, you're done? Okay. I was going to say, that's a lot of people's favorite part of Raw. I don't know.
All right, question for the defense. All right, so the counsel for the plaintiff side has made some really good points in terms of how he's been booked and, well, injuries and stuff like that, being sloppy, stealing finishers. What do you have to say to all that? What, I mean, really, if this is what he needs to do to get ahead, I don't think that's worthy of a number one draft pick. What do you say to that?
Well, Your Honor, what I have to say to that is simply this. The injury part, while yes, it has been unfortunate for Seth Rollins that a couple of people have been injured while they've been wrestling with him, it's not entirely his fault. And while you can say, yes, it sucks, we're not going to see...
Objection, wait a second. You're saying that it's not entirely his fault. Was it John Cena's fault that he got kneed in the face?
John
did Cena's face
come in,
just get in the
John
way of
Cena
Seth's errant knee?
Can I finish? Because I'm not finished now.
Order! Order! Counselor, continue.
Thank you. Pizza. The John Cena part, even John Cena admitted that it was partially his mistake. He has gone on record to say that. The Sting was an unfortunate thing, but Sting was old. Come on, he's an old man. He shouldn't be in the ring with such young guys. Let's face that. And then for Finn unfortunately was tossed a little bit short, and you have to put most of that blame on Seth, but Finn did turn backwards to kind of try to stop himself. So a little bit on Finn, but Seth didn't make a mistake there. I'm going to agree to that one. However, that's not enough to say that he's a bad guy. Let's talk really quickly about how the fact is there are no guys in the back that are openly against Seth Rollins or trying to fight against Seth Rollins. There's nobody in the back. And I'm not talking about Bret Hart, Kent. So before you get that idea in your head, Bret Hart's not in the back.
Argument for me. Go ahead, please.
Everyone wants to wrestle with Seth still. So it doesn't sound like he's a danger to me. Sounds like he's a good guy. Now, on to your other points, sir. The losing, that's creative. You can't blame Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins has to go in and do what he's told. Or he gets fired, just like the rest of us would. Except for this show. Which we could basically say whatever we want. Seth will go in there and he does the best he can with what he is given. When he is out performing with a promo, with matches, he puts on some of the best matches we see in a consistent basis. He also puts on some of the more entertaining promos. Unfortunately, some things fall flat because of creative. So you can't blame him for creative. Now, for the losing, he's been screwjobbed a lot since he's come back from his injury. Except for that one loss to Finn. Oh, and to Dean. Shoot, I kind of just feed my own purpose there. He lost to Dean. But other than that, he's been screwed every time by the McMahons. So, come on. That's not his fault. The man consistently puts on a great show for us. That deserves a number one contendership to me. Or draft pick. Whatever it is. He's also the number one contender. Again, Kent.
All right, closing arguments.
All right. So, you know, my counterpart there, he brings up Bret Hart, and then he brings up screws and all this stuff. And
Bret Hart and screw jobs.
You know, Bret never injured anybody. Bret should know how to protect people. Bret's called out Seth, but, you know, Russ, the guy who's never stepped foot in a wrestling ring day in his fucking life to lace up them boots, is going to try to tell us, you know, something that Bret Hart doesn't know, right? Remember, there was a rhyme and reason why Roman was pegged to be the man. Dean was pegged to be the guy that kind of was the bridge. And Seth was just the guy that tried to help get Roman over. Like, Seth is... I want to make my final point here. You know, Seth is the company guy. As my counterpart says, you know, nobody would say anything bad about Seth. Why? Probably because they're afraid, because he's Triple H's boy. So, yeah, you know, that's why you don't see anybody talk shit about Cena. That same fucking reason. People aren't going to say shit. They're going to stick up for Seth because they have to work with him, and yeah, they have to work for Triple H. My final point is I want y'all to do me a favor. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine a man who returns after so many years. An icon. And he comes back for the grandest stage of them all against another all-time great. And he gets completely fucked over. But then that man has one more match in him to take on the WWE World Champion, Seth Rollins. This icon has been raped and pillaged by Triple H and his little pup. But the icon still goes on until Seth carelessly turnbuckle power bombs this icon and ends his career. Now I want you to imagine that icon is the Undertaker. I rest my case.
That's a low blow, sir. Low blow.
All right, defense, your closing argument?
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, I don't claim to be a fancy city lawyer like my counterpart. However, I just want to lay down some simple facts for you simple folks out there. Seth Rollins carried this company for a year and a half on his back. When wrestling looked bleak, he kept us in the light. A few unfortunate accidents did happen. There's some other people who got injured too during that same time that Seth Rollins had nothing to do with. Yeah, are we going to blame those on Seth Rollins as well? Bray got hurt. Randy was hurt. John Cena got hurt even after his nose job from Seth. Yet, we still see Seth out there day in and day out. And when he got injured, who where they said he would be out for, what, 7, 8 months? The man came back within 5. 5 months, Kent. That's dedication. Do you have that kind of dedication? Do I have that kind of dedication? We'll never know. Now, as for Seth, he will be that number one draft pick because he's the guy. He is the man. He's the guy you need. You say that he was there to build up Roman, yet he surpassed Roman. Thank you for bringing up that point. He surpassed Roman. And did more than him. He got the belt before Roman. Triple H basically bequeathed his finisher to Seth, saying, here, use it. That's not a guy that you would say, I would choose number two or number three. He's number one in my eyes and in all of your eyes. And one last thing, Kent. One last thing, Your Honor. Wookiees come from Endor. I rest my case.
What a stupid case that is. Wookiees in Endor? That's just... Your Honor, I find this to be absolutely ridiculous. How can you defend yourself with this?
Well, let's look at the facts. They come from Endor. It's been proven. Seth Rollins is number one draft choice. It's been proven.
Well, okay, I agree. But it's so... How does that add anything to... Anything of substance to your argument?
Kent, Wookiees are from Endor. How does that not add substance?
For all we know, how would you have felt if Seth would have ended Undertaker's career?
Okay, you want to go... Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all,
how would you have felt? Because that's your boy.
Well, here's the thing. Again, Undertaker's an old guy. He knows what he's getting into. If his career might be over with right now, we don't know. So, and it had nothing to do with Seth. It would be unfortunate. I would agree with you on that, Ken. But what happens if we never got to see Seth Rollins versus Undertaker?
Okay. Well, I don't think Taker's retired. I mean, he was just there at the Cleveland Cavs game last night without crutches, I might add.
That's true. I heard about that. When he was asked by the Cavs from WWE, so he went there as a WWE representative. That's a nice thing to see. I do like that. It's positive.
Absolutely. So, I just struggle. Going back, do you think it's a booking issue? Do you think... I mean, basically, you're blaming creative for Seth sucking dick versus maybe it's kind of on Seth that he's kind of getting a little mundane, a little blah.
Well, I'm going to go with... Okay, you bring up a good point, and I'm going to counteract it with simply this. Let's look at Raw in general. And if we're going to go with creative is the control aspect, Raw's creative has been utter garbage since the split. I am actually horrified that he is now not on SmackDown, because imagine how well he'd be utilized right now on SmackDown. He would be top tier, which he is now anyway, but he would still be top tier, and it would be a good story going along with it. Well,
Christ, this is the longest closing argument of all time. Are you done yet, sir?
I am almost done, sir. Thank
God. God damn it.
But as you were trying to ask, Raw's creative has been trash. Trash, and you cannot deny that. Can you deny that Raw's creative has been good? Or bad? Because it has been bad.
Raw has given us, and I can count this on one hand. One hand, I tell you.
One finger.
Enzo and Cass, who are doing things that no other tag team has done in a very, very long time as far as getting the crowd going, which is the New Age Outlaws. That's the most comparable thing. So it's been over, you know, what?
10 years. At least 15.
It's 15, about?
Yep.
Braun Strowman, they are finally actually making a monster. The women, they actually have the elite women.
Yeah, how are they doing with
that? And they keep telling us about it, but they do have the elite women. They just won't shut the fuck up about it.
So how's that been going for us?
And God damn it, they have Cesaro and they have the book of, or the list of Jericho. Okay,
there you go. That's out of all those things there.
There's my five things. That's my one hand.
The list of Jericho is probably the only thing that it was truly, truly, well, except for maybe Enzo and Cass. But even Enzo and Cass have been used garbage, like garbage.
What about the Shining Stars?
Total and utter garbage. What about?
And the Titus brand. Come
Titus
on, Russ.
Brand. Come on. How are you going to have the Titus brand and just have him lose every single time?
Titus O'Neil's better than Seth Rollins.
So, as you can see, Your Honor,
this has been the worst closing argument of all time.
Habeas corpus and other lawyery things.
Are you calling me corpulent?
All right. I say we do another segment while I come up with my verdict.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's do another segment then. You know what? Kent, do you want to Kentucate us now, or should I give you a little bit of that sweet man crush that I've got going on this week? What would you like to do?
Oh, God. You know, I usually get a clue when you give the man crush, so please give me that clue. Give us Russ's man crush of the week.
All right. Thank you, sir. This was a tough week to choose. I'm not going to lie. The man crush is just, I wasn't feeling it. Raw was trash. All right, that was one thing. So I didn't really find too much man-crushing going on there. And then secondly, SmackDown, while it was a decent show, not too much going on there either. I mean, okay, Ellsworth, but you know, we already had Ellsworth. Dean, I'm just not feeling Dean here. And then it goes AJ, and AJ I've already man-crushed on the man. So I try to make my man-crushes new and exciting and different, unless I absolutely find Seth Rollins to be the number one guy of the week. But no, I did find a shining man to talk about this week. And I think we all know who it's going to be.
Sure
My
do.
Man crush of the week is Chris Jericho.
Called it.
Yeah, Chris Jericho, folks. Let me tell you something. Chris Jericho comes out with that arrogance and that wonderful way he walks out and tells the crowd to shut up, them stupid idiots. And I feel like he's talking to everyone but me, because I know I'm not a stupid idiot. And it brings a tear to my eye, knowing that he has to listen to those stupid idiots. Not to mention, the man has given us the list. The number one most over thing on Raw. The list. He just has to mention the list, and the crowd goes crazy.
Can I ask you something, Ross?
You certainly may.
I keep muting myself for some reason. So here's my question. You bring up the list, and I'd also like to know the answer from Carrie when she's done deliberating. But for right now, I'll ask you while she's deliberating. If you could add five things to the list that are WWE related, what five things are you adding to the list?
Oh,
and
man.
Go.
All right. Number one, Raw Creative. They are going on the list. Because, frankly, they've sucked. You know what else is going to go on the list? berating me over the head that the Hell in a Cell match between Sasha and Charlotte is historical. Yes, I learned that 3 weeks ago. You can stop telling me about it now. That's going on the list. You want to know what else is going on that list?
Dude,
Rusev and Roman's matches. I'm sick of them. I don't want to see it anymore. Their Hell in a Cell match is going to be so boring. I don't care. Rusev crush usually, but this time, Rusev, you're on the list. Next. Ooh, this is a tough one. That's three, correct? I'm on three. I've learned to count.
So far, we've counted three.
All right, good. So, number four that's going on the list. I'm putting Daniel Bryan on the list. Here's the reason why. Two reasons why. Two major reasons why Daniel Bryan's going on that list. First of all, number one, he really screwed Natty. All right? Poor girl comes out there.
Can he just knock up Brie?
Ha-ha!
I mean, unless we're talking...
Yes, he did. I'm talking about in the terms of wrestling. He really put the screws to her. You know, he made her... Instead, she comes to him saying, hey, I want to be representing SmackDown. Excited and interested. And what does he do? No, he puts her in a match. And he says, nope, you got to earn it. Why? Why? She's a great wrestler. There's only six of them. Come on. Daniel, you're on the list for that. But not only is he on the list for that.
Seven. Eva Marie.
Oh, Eva Marie. I forgot she even existed, to tell you the truth. We miss her.
We really
come back
do.
To us, Eva. Come back to us. And finally, you know what else is going on the list? I think you're going to appreciate this. This last piece that's going on the list. Baron Corbin getting every other week on SmackDown. What is up with that? He has been consistently every other week. And last week he gave us this fantastic SmackDown or Talking Smack segment, which really fueled his character. And what did they do the next week? Say nothing about it. We don't even know anything happened. So, frankly, WWE Creative SmackDown, I'm putting you on the list because you screwed up with Baron Corbin, sirs and gentle ladies.
Gentle ladies.
Fiend.
Oh, somebody didn't take French in high school.
No, I didn't. That was Spanish for me.
And Carrie, what would you add your five things to the list since Iron Russ just did his?
Killed it.
I have no arguments with that list. Those are my five as well.
Very creative. Very creative.
I can't go for anything else if I agree.
That's true. I have to ask you this. How is the list the most over thing on Raw? Seriously, come on, tell me. I mean...
Well, things that make you laugh get over on wrestling. Especially in the mundane months of the fall. Because people just get fucking antsy and they give us the fucking feuds that never end. And this happens every year. Like, this isn't nothing new. Like, we act like it's something new every year. Like, for fuck's sakes, man, we've been 4 months in this feud. Will it fucking end? And we bitch about it. And then we get to Royal Rumble. And then it's like, here's
forward.
A piece of candy. And then we get WrestleMania. And then we're like, oh, that was built up really well. It was a piece of shit. Here's a piece of candy. And then you get Money in the Bank. You're like, ah, wrestling's good again, right? And, you know, it's very cyclical. So at this point, we needed a hero. And with Finn Balor out, thanks to a botched move, we needed a hero, and that hero came along from Canada. Jericho has never, ever found a way to let us down when he's had more than 6 months. Jericho has found a way to get himself over every single time he's had a stint that's been 6 months or more. It's always something different, and it's always, I don't know, he reinvents himself. Like, how many wrestlers can you say that's actually reinvented themselves or gave themselves as many gimmicks as Jericho has throughout the years?
He's gotten
I struggle.
A lot. Yeah.
So, when you combine the redundancy with Jericho just being really the only real veteran, Raw has a lot of indie guys and young guys. I don't think Braun Strowman's going to catch on. Not as much as the list. So that's why the list is dominant right now.
But
and New Day has run its course, and Enzo and Cass have not been given...
Right. Well, we got to wait at least another, what, 60 days?
Yeah, probably some kind of fuckery.
Yeah, Royal Rumble's when they're probably going to lose it. Or Fastlane, whatever.
Fastlane.
Yeah, that's
what a
problem.
Great name for a pay-per-view, man. Great name.
Because it's the Fastlane to WrestleMania, sir. The Fastlane to WrestleMania.
You know who was on the poster for this year's Fastlane?
No.
Eva Marie.
Eva Marie?
Yeah.
She's coming back.
Damn right. She was on a poster in February. That's indicative that she's returning anytime now.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Do we have a court decision yet, or is there still deliberation? Is there confusion?
I have reached my decision. And I am going to say that creative is guilty.
Woo!
Wait.
I meant Ric Flair.
Premature there?
With that being said, I think at the time the pick was made, yes, Seth was the number one pick in the company. But creative has completely trashed him to the point where we have to question that. Therefore, it's not Seth Rollins that's guilty, folks. It's creative that's guilty here. And that is my decision.
Case closed.
Yes.
I accept your decision.
Russ, why'd you say that there was a jury?
Because I like to pretend, Kent. Can't I pretend?
Yeah, on your own watch.
Okay, well, that was my own watch at that point.
It's my fucking time with your fucking imaginary fucking jury here. So, shit, we got some time to fucking kill here. Let's talk about how awesome SmackDown was.
SmackDown was...
It's funny because SmackDown has really become the average-looking chick next to the fat chick. Fat chick being Raw.
Fat chick
so
being
average
Raw.
Chick looks hot as hell. That's what SmackDown is right now because Raw is gross.
Is SmackDown just average or is it really good? Because I'm not going to say this
two,
is fantastic
they had two good
wrestling.
Stories. And they had two really good... The as you mentioned in the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, you mentioned that not only did the Randy thing, but also the James Ellsworth thing caught you off guard. And I agree with you. I rode the same roller coaster ride. I sat in the back, you sat in the front, but we still took the same ride.
Yep.
I don't remember last time Ross surprised me.
Nope.
So they are doing something right.
That's the good thing about SmackDown. They're challenging our status quo. Like, because could you not call, if this was regular, good old Raw, wouldn't that have been exactly what had happened? It was a DQ match so the Randy could come out, save Kane, so we could have that casket match. Because that'll be history-making, too. A tag team in casket matching. Woo! History-making. And then they would have shoved that down our throats for 5 months.
History-making?
And again... You know it.
Yeah.
And then Ellsworth, the whole thing with that, we're like, okay, well, we need a number one contender, right? So we're all thinking, okay, it's got to be Dean. Dean's been playing this perfectly. Dean's has been foiling AJ. AJ's that stupid heel. Oh, you stupid heel. And what do? They turn it around on us. It's been great. This was fantastic. I actually cannot wait to see what happens on SmackDown next week with Dean and Ellsworth. There's so much possibility.
I'm going to have to echo what both of you guys are saying. I mean, SmackDown's keeping me on my toes. Raw? Well, let's just put it this way. I fell asleep at 9 o'clock, curled up with my puppy, and I was very happy.
Well, let me tell you what you missed.
Also, nobody watched the full episode, right? Like, nobody did, right?
No. There was a half an hour to 45 minutes. I kind of got out of my seat, did some work around the house, and sat back down and said, I don't feel like rewinding.
That seems fair. I just kind of had it on fast forward. I stopped. I watched the Cruiserweight match. That was the one thing that
I
did.
I should rewound for that, and I should rewound for that.
Just because Rich Swann, I think, I don't know, obviously, I mentioned in the blog this week, I think Rich Swann's going to be somebody that we have to keep an eye on moving forward. And let's face it, half the time I'm right. I was wrong on the Ascension so far, but I've been right on Corbin so far.
Yes.
So, 50-50.
Good for you.
And Rich is a black dude. At some point, WWE has to push a black dude.
Well, yeah,
but they have to.
Have we seen their track record with black dudes? Titus New Brand. Day? Make Darren Young great again.
Eh? Apollo Crews.
Their track record right now is train wrecking. So I fear for Rich Swann. Because Rich Swann, honestly, let's face it, charismatic, great ring, in the ring style. He's everything you want. I will see that WWE will ruin this somehow.
It amazes me because I watched TNA and they signed this dude named Moose. And he's a big dude. He's not like 7 foot tall, but he's a big dude, former NFL player. He has
so we can teach that.
Yeah.
We can teach it because he's not 7 foot tall.
Right. We can teach it.
Okay.
And he's like the guy that WWE, like, stop signing all these fucking indie jerk-offs. Get, like, a big black dude that has charisma and push this man. They really dropped the ball. So that was my whole thing.
You're right. They have. Talking about the cruiserweights, let's stick with that real quick. I don't understand their all of a sudden switch of Brian Kendrick. He was this badass jerk all the way till this week, and then all of a sudden he switches to be like, let me win, TJ. Let me win.
Well, Russ,
what was up with that?
If you watched the match and then the follow-up, everything would have made a lot more sense.
Well, then that's why I need you for me, Ken. Make it make sense to me, because honestly, I was confused.
Well, Carrie, did you watch the match?
I did not.
Okay, so basically they had Mr. Dabs a lot on commentary.
Yes, I heard that. I heard it was awful.
Yeah, he should never be on commentary again. I mean, they gave him an opportunity. He tried like hell. He's just not a guy that can be long-winded.
Okay.
He was the carry of the commentary team. Short bursts, and that was about the extent.
Good looking, right? Good looking
out
of the group.
Dashing,
right.
Likes to dab.
Yeah.
All these things.
Wait, I don't like to dab.
We don't know that.
Up until last week, I didn't even know what it was.
Fair enough. So, the whole thing is that it's not. Kendrick's still a badass, but he needs money, damn it. He needs to put food on the table for his family. And if that's not healing it up, I don't know what is, because all the good guys do is ruin really good weddings, put cake on women. That's what good guys do. The bad guys, they need to watch out for their family. Remember, Heath was a bad guy when he needed to put food on the family.
You're right. When he put food on the table, he's definitely a bad guy. You're right.
So that's WWE logic. Be a good family man, you're a heel. You're the dick in the room, you're the good guy.
You're the good guy.
How does that make any fucking sense?
I don't know. But that it did feel like they were kind of ripping off Slater's gimmick when he did that.
Totally. I was like, well, how many times has Raw ripped off SmackDown so far? This is like the fourth or fifth time.
Have they not ruined it? Yeah, I would say it's probably the third or fourth time they ripped them off completely. But they do it in the worst ways, too. It's like, you did this and it was works. We'll show you how to do it better, but it sucks balls because we're Raw.
It's like America remaking a foreign film. That's what it is. That's what Raw does to SmackDown's ideas.
Just don't do it.
No.
Just
it's not worth it to risk it.
No.
Not over this shit. Stop, drop the biscuit.
I thought I would.
That was from Guilty Conscience, Eminem and Dr. Dre.
Wow.
Yeah. Give it a little hip hop rap.
That was a little kentication, a mini kentication, as it were.
Well, we were talking about black dudes and white dudes, so I gave you a little salt and pepper.
All right. Nice. Like it.
Yeah.
All right. It is that time again. Carrie, are you ready before I throw you under the bus?
Ready for what? It depends. Ready for what?
Well, are you ready to give us your take on news this week outside of WWE?
Yes, I am. All right, kids. Again this week, I have searched high and low in the internet to bring you this week's big wrestling story of the week. And since we have beat the collapse of TNA to death on this podcast, to the point where I don't want to rename this segment This Week in TNA News, this week's story involves a potential new wrestling promotion and the daughters of some very prominent wrestling legends. According to a recent interview with TMZ Sports, I know is TMZ Sports, but Brittany Page, daughter of DDP, confirmed that she, Brooke Hogan, Lacey Von Erich, Ariel Toombs, daughter of Roddy Piper, and Jean-Claude Van Damme's daughter are founding a wrestling company together. Apparently, Christy Hemme is also somehow involved in this new company. The article doesn't mention any further details or a start date, so this is probably nothing, but worth reporting to you listeners nonetheless. Thoughts, guys?
It's interesting you bring up DDP because he's actually in my bit later on. And just for another mini Kenchication, his wife was in, 40-year-old virgin and showed her tits. So there you go. DDP getting mentioned a lot in this podcast. Russ, you're awfully stone-faced over there all of a sudden. Got any thoughts on this, Russ? Or you just, no, you're just looking at me like you don't like me anymore. Well, fuck you, Russ. Fuck you. Yeah. Shame. Shame on you. Carrie, can we have a little talk about the SmackDown women since Russ kept trying to fucking push off his own stupid beliefs? Can we talk about how great that was?
It was fantastic. We're talking about Alexa, right?
Actually, I liked everything that happened. Like, I even liked the stupid story with Natalya and Nikki over who was going to be the... Even though we're dealing with six or seven, and if Nikki's going to be in charge, Carmella still attacks her, which Carmella's by default pretty much on the team, which I thought was brilliant in and of itself. But the Alexa and... What's-her-tits? Troll orange hair Becky there. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, let's start with my favorite Alexa first. Your favorite too, might I add.
Oh, yeah.
She knocked that segment out of the park. She was strong, articulate, and really... Becky kind of just wasn't holding her own.
Becky wasn't herself during that segment. I mean, she tried, but Alexa looked like the Big Show next to Rey Mysterio there in that segment, I felt.
Yep.
Did you like the whole... I love the spray paint thing because it brought me back to, like, fucking NWO. And, like, even way back in the 90s, they used to do the yellow streak thing. Like, it was old school but effective, right?
Yeah, it was well done. It kind of was a great way to cap off that segment. And just further cement her as just a top heel in the women's division on SmackDown. It was just really well done all the way around. I was quite pleased and quite happy that my girl, you know, did well.
Do you think with all this great work going on, do you still think Becky's holding on to that belt?
I'm up in the air on that one. I mean, as I said in the blog, again, ninedeuce.com, everyone, /wrestling.
Atta girl. Pimp that site.
There you go. I do what I can. I'm up in the air on this one. I'm kind of the edge of my seat to see who takes this belt, if Becky keeps it or if Alexa, just based on how she's booked, takes it. I mean, I think at this point she deserves it.
I agree. I'm okay with either one. I like, that's where I'm at. I'm okay with either person keeping or getting the belt. The division's just been so good as of late that I don't necessarily think that a champion's like necessarily standing out. It's just cool that she's having her run with it, and made by Royal Rumble or something, she could drop it if they want, or she could drop it. I don't know. Do you think Asuka's going to be coming to SmackDown at some point?
Possibly. I don't know. Like, I mean, in her defense, and I really don't want to name this person because I've washed my hands of her, but somebody needs to replace Paige on the Raw roster. So I think Asuka might be heading there.
Would Asuka be redundant to have those, since Asuka has only, her two biggest main feuds were with Bayley and Nia Jax. Those were her two big feuds for, you know, the duration of her run as champ up till what she's currently doing now, which I believe is with Mickie James.
That's what I'm hearing.
I haven't watched NXT in so long because of fuckery, but yeah, Mickie James, that's kind of cool as shit. I liked Mickie.
Yeah, it's nice that they're bringing her back. I'm excited about this.
I don't know. The women have so much potential, and then Raw does what it does. So that's just a fucking, that's a shame, really, that you have so much, you have the more talented roster, really, over on Raw. But I don't know. I'm really shocked Russ has not chimed in yet with anything whatsoever yet. Russ, are you still mad at me? Well, that's just fine. What do you think about the SmackDown women now that you're done pouting over there? All right, go fuck yourself. So, Carrie, was it a where do you think this whole Ellsworth thing goes? Do you think he's going to stay a face? Do you think he's turned heel? Do you think he's going to stay long term?
I think that the WWE gives him a pressure with the fan from the fans. They'll keep Ellsworth around. I think the fans are really, really pressuring them to kind of sign him. And he's doing great things. So, I mean, I guess the ball's in their court there. But I think with the current storyline, he's already caused Dean one opportunity. He's going to cost him another one. And then we're going to see him maybe align with AJ or something like that. There's got to be something afoot. And it's SmackDown creative, so it's probably going to be better than most than what we're hearing.
I would love to know the statistics on Ellsworth merchandise right now. Like, are they actually, like, moving a good quantity of them? I mean, is he? I'm really curious. Like, is he in the top 20? I don't know.
I heard it's somewhere just that those T-shirts are sold out.
Well,
the ones from last.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back.
Why
I'm
wouldn't
back.
You?
I'm sorry, but didn't they only probably
interrupting? Fucking
you're right.
Cow.
Moo, sir. Moo.
Moo.
Didn't they only probably put a limited amount on though? Too maybe like 100. They probably didn't.
Well, that's how they claim Roman Reigns shirts get sold out. They put out a limited quantity and then like, oh, sorry, they're all sold out. We sold all three
Roman's
of them.
So popular. Okay, so I am sorry about that. I will tell you, the Women's SmackDown has been great. I'm assuming you guys, I wasn't really listening, I'll be honest with you. I was sulking, so I wasn't paying attention. But I'm just going to say this.
Is that why you turned off your webcam, Russ, so we didn't have to see your
the
fucking
streaks
tears?
On my eyes, and now my mascara is running. I mean, I don't wear mascara. That's just silly.
I don't, because I don't have any eyelashes.
Back to life, back to reality. I would just say that...
You want to go a little bit further with that? Have it, do you want it? Have it, do you need it?
I would say this. I thought Alexa and Becky were amazing. I thought that was fantastic. And wait, well, they started off. SmackDown does what for women, what Raw wishes it could do. And Raw has all the talent. So.
Good input. Good input.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Russ, who do you think is going to be the next SmackDown Women's Champion?
Next, or you mean between Becky and Alexa?
What part of next?
Well, Becky is still going to be the champion.
Is there a learning curve here to the word next?
Because, well, the next one could be Carmella. It doesn't mean Alexa's going to be the champion next.
I never said anything about fucking Alexa. I'm just asking you who the next one's going to be
after
Becky.
I'm going to go with Alexa, actually. I think Alexa's going to take it from her eventually.
Thanks. Appreciate that answer. Do you like trolls?
Who doesn't like trolls, Ken?
I really like the troll line. I don't know why. Like, it just cracked me up because, I mean, I think anybody our age at one point had a fucking troll doll, and
they have a movie. You know, they have a movie coming out in November 5th, right?
Yeah, I've already seen Troll Hunter. It wasn't that good. The trolls looked okay, but the hunting aspect just and they were speaking in gibberish. It was in Swedish. It's on Netflix, as a matter of fact.
Is there anything Netflix doesn't have for us?
A good selection of horror movies?
Ba-dum-boom.
I swear to Christ, they really fucked us over this year. It's like, alright, I'm getting the fuck off topic for a second, because I gotta go on a little rant here.
Wait, hold on.
We are not affiliated
with Kent's rants.
Back my fucking hand here. Listen, in October, there are people that want to watch a scary movie. Even if it's just like once on the weekend before Halloween, they want to do it. And Netflix should be giving out some name brand cereal, if you will, all right? Instead, we've gotten the only name products that they've really given us is like Jaws 1 through 4, which, believe me, after the original, it's the Raw of the Jaws brand, if you will. And then there was a couple like The Uninvited, The Unborn, Scream 2, a bunch of sequels. Whoopty fucking do for the goddamn sequels. Although Scream 2 does have Jerry O'Connell, who I really dig. My point is, if you're going to be Netflix, wouldn't you want to up your game for the 1 month where you're going to have your most viewers for that particular genre? That makes sense, right?
I agree with you. I definitely think there's a case for it to be had, but they're Netflix. They don't care. And they can only get certain things, too, let's face it.
That's not entirely true. Yes, they are limited in the fact that they will not get Amazon Prime exclusive shows or Hulu exclusive shows. But aside from that, they just switch from vendor to vendor. That's like how their rotation works. So they have the money. They're just choosing to spend it on girls that will get nude for Orange is the New Black, which is cool as shit. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. And they spent a lot of money to get like the Luke Cage property and stuff. I don't know. It's Netflix has really dropped the ball this year.
Carrie?
That's all.
Do you have a say in Kent's rant?
Nope.
Yeah, you're talking to probably the least horror people in the building. So
That's okay. I had to get that rant out there. Believe me, I still got another rant before we leave.
Really? Well,
Ken,
you know what time it is, don't you?
9:38.
No, not that time.
Go on.
It's time for you to kentucate us, sir. I need to be kentucated, and so does the rest of the world.
Well, I'm glad that you brought this up right now, since I was just talking about horror movies. I'm going to provide all of you with a list of 11 horror films in which wrestlers appeared. Well, actually, a few more than 11, because there's some sequels and shit. So, number one, the obvious one being Kane in See No Evil and See No Evil 2. Just watch the first one. It kicks ass. The second one, Rowdy Roddy Piper in They Live and Hell Comes to Frogtown. They Live is actually one of the coolest movies. Even if you're not in horror, it's still a cool, funny movie, because Piper and Keith David are awesome. Some dude named Tor Johnson. I don't know who the fuck he was, but he was in Plan 9 from Outer Space, so he's an oldie, but he apparently was a wrestler, and he's in, you know, a movie that's famous for being awful. So there's that. Number four, I got the old whisker biscuit, bald head son of a bitch himself, Bill Goldberg, in Santa's Slaying, which is an absolute treat. Bill Goldberg plays a maniacal Santa Claus that kills people.
Wasn't he one of the main characters in it?
Santa. Okay. So, number five, I have Hulk Hogan in like 45 seconds of Gremlins 2. I actually just watched the clip today. It made me laugh. It's silly. It's stupid, but that's what Hulk Hogan's known for. Number six, The Rock in Doom, which is based on a popular video game. And the movie's not bad. Number seven, I told you we'd come back to this guy, DDP, in The Devil's Rejects, which was a Rob Zombie film, and probably in the top 10 horror since of this millennium. It's a really good character movie, very violent, but very good character-driven movie. This next one, some old-school fans may appreciate, some new-school fans, fuck off. We have River of Darkness, starring Kurt Angle, Kevin Nash, Psycho Sid Vicious, and Glacier.
How have I not seen this movie?
Because I tried watching it and I couldn't make it past the 10-minute mark.
Really?
And I watched some of the worst of the worst of the worst, and this was just so bad. It was like a ripoff of the movie The Fog. It was just so bad.
But it's got Kurt Angle and Kevin Nash.
I have a movie on DVD with Kurt Angle called Endgame. That's a terrible movie, too, and somehow it's a masterpiece compared to River of Darkness.
Is this something we have to sit down and watch, like we watched CeeLo or Silo, whatever it was?
CeeLo. Yeah. No, because CeeLo was wrong for all the wrong yes. reasons and shit, you know, but no, this is just a poorly made film, unfortunately. Next up, and this is a movie I had never heard of, Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, which I'm currently trying to find a way to watch this. It has Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Matt Hardy, and Kurt Angle.
Okay, Kent, if you find this, we're watching this together.
Yeah, that's fine. We can hold
definitely,
hands.
Definitely
cool.
Holding hands. I got to see this.
Number 10, Hornswoggle in Leprechaun Origins. That movie fucking was terrible. Not his fault. That was just a terrible... I don't know what the hell they were thinking. And finally... The Game, Triple H in Blade Trinity. So, being the week, the podcast before Halloween, there you go. There's the list. There's your Kentucation. Now go out there and try to find Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Yes, please, and then show us how we can get it because that sounds awesome.
I wonder if Hacksaw Jim Duggan like uses a 2x4 on a zombie and then goes, oh.
Oh man,
that'd just be awesome.
That'd be great. And Roddy Piper's in it, too?
Piper, yeah. And Piper's always good for
a laugh, I know.
So, I don't know. It just seems like it's got to be a treat.
It definitely does. All right. We're running out of time. Let's talk about the pay-per-view that's coming up. We almost don't even care about this pay-per-view.
Survivor Series?
No. The one that's before...
Goldberg versus Brock, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo.
Oh, but we didn't even talk about that.
Can
we do it for at least 5 minutes?
Actually, because
5 minutes, please. That really bothered me.
Well, did you read that Vince was furious backstage?
He should be furious with himself. How stupid is he?
Right. That was totally 100% on him. You don't book Brock Lesnar in Minneapolis and expect him to get fucking booed. That's the one place he's going to get cheered no matter what.
You're right. No matter... He's not your typical normal guy that's there every week that's going to be a heel or a face based off of what you make him. He's beyond that. He is a legend. You can't make people decide to either hate him or love him. They've already made up their mind. They're done with him now. He's legend status. They either love him or they hate him. And most people love him because thanks to the way WWE has been booking him. So to expect boos, you're a dumbass. You're a goddamn moron. Man,
you could tell that something was fucked up as you were watching
yes.
it, right? Like, you could tell that the music played preemptively. You could see that Paul is talking to Brock like, I'm going to try
yeah.
this. You could see Paul was just trying his best, but there was nothing. I think the best thing they could have done is just let Paul build up Brock more. Just build him up and just soak in the adulation and just acknowledge.
Yeah.
It was like when Seth would get cheered in Iowa. Well, of course he's going to get cheered in Iowa, even though he's the heel.
He's exactly.
Just
you're
go
right.
with
and
it.
That's the other thing they could have done. They could have easily just had Paul go out there, build Brock up in a dickish way, so when they leave Minnesota, the other people are, well, screw that noise, and at least we'd get some big cheers for Goldberg. They screwed this pooch. This is not good, because now all the other crowds have heard it. And that's dissension. And now the crowds are going to take it.
Is dissension like the Ascension's arch nemesis?
They should be if they're not. That'd be great.
Kerry, what do you think about this?
It was just a whole bunch of fail. Oh, my God. What logic did they have when they set up this segment? My neck still hurts from shaking my head on this one. It was the stupidest move, and the rumor that Vince was upset about it is just kind of icing on a very big cake of fail. Oh my gosh, you don't try to get the crowd of the guy's hometown to boom. It's not going to happen. It never happens.
The crowd was...
I think we almost got carried.
We did.
There.
I think they're just about to say, fuck you, not fail.
Yeah.
I'll say this too, though. You know when they were going to screw up? When the crowd was cheering on Axel. If they're going to cheer a hometown guy like Axel, but if they're going to cheer a hometown guy like Axel, who is a nothing in WWE, they're not going to turn on Brock.
Well, they've already had Brock there as a heel since he's returned, 2-3 years ago. They know how they're going to react. The only fucking card they could have played is have Paul be like, yeah, and Brock hates Minneapolis, and that's why he lives in Canada now. Like, he could have shit on the crowd in that way and talked down Minnesota or Minneapolis. That was the only card he had to play. Otherwise, those fans were not... I think, why even have Brock be the bad guy? Why not just let it be two legends going head-to-head? Why does there need to be a good guy and a bad guy in this case? Just Warrior and Hogan the shit
out of it. Right, because it doesn't matter anyway. Brock's going to win. So it's better off not having face versus heel on this anyway. Legend versus legend. It's better.
They dropped the ball. They fucking dropped the ball.
It actually killed what Goldberg did last week for me. I thought what Goldberg did was great last week. It was amazing. And this kind of shit the bed a little bit with it.
Oh, I completely agree. I mean, it was a huge step back. And I don't understand why you would take such a huge step back when you have Paul Heyman basically talking during the segment.
Literally, he could have done anything but what he did. Anything.
Exactly.
So, I'm at a loss for that one. I'm glad we brought it up. I can't believe we didn't talk about it. It's shocking.
did you read anything about Curtis Axel's fans getting their signs taken away as well?
No, I didn't hear.
I saw that.
I didn't hear that.
Like, that's disappointing. Give Axel some fucking support here. Like, he's just been around for so long. He deserves better.
He does. I feel bad for him. And plus, he's on Raw, he's never going to get anywhere. Yeah, if he was on...
He's Ross Heath Slater. Make something of the fucking dude.
They could. The whole Bo Dallas thing. Like, what are they doing with that?
Bo's probably going to be a member of Titus Brand for too long.
But he's winning, actually. It's like...
Is the Titus Brand going to be the new go-to joke for the rest of the year? Because I really think...
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think we should. Every time something's going to be a fail, it's the Titus Brand of approval there.
First time ever historical and Titus Brand. That's all the insults I need for the rest of the year. That's all I need. So speaking of historical, can we talk about Hell in the Cell?
Now you want to talk about Hell in the Cell instead of skip it over and say Survivor Series and Brock Lesnar? Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, let's do that.
Swear to God, Russ. It might not just be Abe and Glenn that get.
Ooh, you better be careful.
Topical.
You better be careful with that when people might get angry.
Oh, you mean the bitch ass pussy?
Spoiler alert, people. Spoiler alert.
Oh my God. I just want to backhand so many people.
I mean, if you.
Speaking of wanting to backhand people, let's talk about Raw and Hell in the Cell.
You mean how much Hell in the Cell is going to be a backhand to all of us?
Oh, and by the way, I don't even want us to update the blog to reflect Bayley versus Dana Brooke because I don't think any of us give a fuck about the match, so let's not update it because WWE showed so much care in a match that they didn't even announce it until today. So I'm not even going to update the blog, just letting you guys know this.
Fair enough. Now, I have a question, though. Did they mention anything or about the botch last week? Or, I mean, obviously they can't call it a botch because she cleanly won. But did they try to denounce it or anything?
Do you think any of us watched an arm wrestling segment? Because an arm wrestling segment has been the same in the 2010s as it was in the 2000s, as it was in the 90s, as it was in the 80s. That segment has not changed in over 40 fucking years.
I saw the last 5 seconds of it. So that's when I came to sit back down.
I couldn't do it.
Oh, man. All right, never mind. I guess that's a secret we'll never know.
Somebody who hates their life more than us probably knows the
answer. All right, let's talk about Hell in a Cell. Kent, could you go give us... We'll talk about each match, and we'll say who we think is going to win.
Sounds good. Let's talk with... let's start off with Gallows and Anderson, the good guys for life, or good brothers, whatever the fuck it is, versus Enzo and Cass. Carrie, you go.
I got Gallows and Anderson because they really need a win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same thing, Gallows and Anderson. Enzo and Cass can take a few losses and still be super over. So Gallows and Anderson need this way worse. Besides, they should be going up against New Day for that final kick into the title reign, longest title reign.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree and go with Enzo and Cass here. In case you guys haven't been paying attention, Raw doesn't know how to book a fucking show.
Touché.
So, I mean, I'm not saying you guys are wrong in the theory of what they should do. I'm just saying what they will do. Yeah, I think we're going to get an Empire elbow.
Okay, touche, sir, touche.
We're going to follow that up with the other tag team match, New Day versus Cesaro Carey.
New Day.
Yeah, the only way Cesaro is going to win is if it's a disqualification. There's no way they're dropping those belts yet. That would be a complete fuck you to New Day at this point. So I'm saying New Day is going to win.
Yeah, I normally like to give a contrarian explanation about what's going to happen. They've talked about demolition about as fucking much as the historical fucking fuckery of fuck, dude. So... no. New Day's going to retain, and we're going to keep going with Cesaro, yada, yada, yada. Let's talk about the most hyped-up match of the evening, Roman Reigns versus Rusev. Kerry, go.
Reigns retains to the disappointment of all of us.
I'm going to say, Kerry, that's not true. I'm going to say Reigns retains, but not all of us are going to be that disappointed.
And I'm going to say that I'm going to ogle Lana and not pay attention to the match until Rusev screams, crash! And then I'll be like, oh, what's going on here? And then get really excited. Let's just go with Rusev winning.
Wow.
It's in my heart. Actually, no. Roman's going to win. My bad. Cruiserweight match. Mr. Dabber versus Mr. Kendrick. Carrie, go.
I would really like to see the Brian Kendrick take this one.
I'm hoping it's the Brian Kendrick as well. I think he'll do great as a heel champion, and TJ has the potential to be a great babyface in Chase.
Like, just a week ago, didn't both of you say there wasn't going
to
be any titles?
No, I said clearly that they don't need to. There will be. And I think the only one that has a possibility is this one. If you read my blog, on 9deuce.com/wrestling.
Go on.
You would know that I said, I don't want there to be a title change. However, they're probably going to, and it's going to be TJ Perkins dropping it.
Fair enough. Yeah. The Brian Kendrick. I don't know when I spell it out on the blog if it should be a T-H-E all capitals or a T-H-E-E.
No, it's the Brian Kendrick. I think that's capital T-H-E when you're doing it. That's how I see it.
Me too.
Fair enough. All right. We'll go next to the other match that everybody cares a lot about. Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. The second part in the triple main event. Gary.
I'm pointing so hard. I just wish you could see me right now.
Rust, we can't see you.
I'm pointing so hard.
We have a blue screen of death here. Which is how I feel halftime. I'm listening to you talk.
A blue screen of death?
I pick KO to retain, by the way.
Yeah, well, I also pick KO to retain also. And I also think that something's going to happen that Seth gets screwed. He can't just lose cleanly. They got to set something else next up.
Yeah, I agree. I think Morgan's going to wheel around Carol in the wheelchair for most of the episode. And I may catch this pay-per-view at some point in my life. Finally, let's talk about, you know, it's not once in a lifetime because they don't want to use that catchphrase because Rock and Cena already happened once in a lifetime twice. But this is the historical first time ever women's Hell in a Cell because...
Now, yeah. Ken, I do want to mention something real quick. I've heard that this is a very historical match. Is this true?
Well, I wrote a letter to WWE headquarters. Surprisingly, they got back to me and told me yes. Yes, it is a
They've been so quiet about this. Like, I would never know that this was a
They told me to keep it hush-hush and not to mention on the podcast. Here
and
I am.
You're blowing it, Kat, because they never even mention it. They let the storytelling do a great job. And I'm just telling you, I'm shocked that I found out this was a historical event.
Couldn't they have at least used Mick Foley? I mean, he's a big fan of women's wrestling, and he is the guy from Hell in a Cell. Like, couldn't they have used him to, like, maybe build this match up a little bit? Like, talk about it for even, like, 30 seconds?
No, yeah, exactly. And what do? They completely ignore it. It's ridiculous that I was not informed how important this match was.
Kerry, with all that said, now that you know how important it is, who are you picking?
Well... I guess Sasha's going to have to retain for this very, 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 very important match.
You would never have known that, Carrie, it was important if it wasn't for me and Kent. I just want to say that right now. That's the only way you do.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it's been a real shame that this has been such a quiet, you know, coming under the radar history match that I never even knew was coming, that they've really underplayed this one. But I'm thinking Sasha's going to retain.
You know, for a first time ever historical match of this magnitude, which is probably going to close the show, and thankfully they can claim it's a main event because they had to make it a triple main event because, you know, WWE lacks the fucking balls to just say this is going to be our main event. I don't know. I think that the obvious thing is Sasha, and every time the obvious thing is Sasha to retain,
they flip it.
They fuck
yeah,
her
they
over.
Do. You're right.
So I'm going to pick Charlotte because based on history of what we've seen.
Okay.
And who's going to challenge Sasha next? Dana Brooke?
Yeah. They don't have anything set up for Raw. Nia Jax. What happened to
Nia
Jax?
Is Nia Jax going
to
make a fucking triumphant comeback? Like, she's been somewhere.
She certainly has been somewhere. Maybe she was the one that was holding back the media so nobody could tell that this was a very big and important match coming up.
God damn it. I cannot wait for Walking Dead so I can change the fucking channel. Like, I really can't. Like, I have not looked forward to a pay-per-view this much in I don't know how long. Like, I have zero fucks to give about this pay-per-view. If I was not writing a review... I would not watch it.
I have never... Okay, since I've gotten the WWE Network, I've always put on a pay-per-view, even if it's just background noise. And most of the time, I'll catch one or two good matches. Like, hey, great. I almost do not care about this pay-per-view enough to even turn on the network. That's how crappy this has been. I couldn't care less.
Oh, look at you not being a millennial. All right, we should probably wrap this up with some final thoughts. Carrie, you look so fucking excited now that we've talked about this.
She just learned about anything? A super exciting, important historical match, Kent.
Okay, she's getting over the excitement. I get it. She's a little in shock. We're all in shock at how bad this has been. Any final thoughts there, Carrie?
Well, just that I won't be watching Hell in a Cell this weekend. I got some NXT to catch up on, some Lucha Underground to catch up on. I think I'm going to go with those. and a puppy who usually likes to play with me. So, yeah, that's what I'll be doing instead, because I'm with you guys. I just don't care. This is going to be awful.
I can't wait for the blog, to be quite frank. Like, I am so excited about the blog more so than the event. Russ, you got anything?
Well, I really, really cannot wait for Tuesday SmackDown, because I don't care about Raw or Hell in
Yeah,
Cell.
You're right. I really can't wait for SmackDown. Like, I actually get excited for SmackDown.
Yeah,
Like, that's the best 2 hours of wrestling every week that I care about.
The next set of 6 hours worth of wrestling, I am going to trudge through, and I'll probably barely pay attention to. That's how bad it is.
I hope I have at least some pizza or something to fucking navigate my way through the office.
Yeah.
All right, it's almost American Horror Story time, and I'm out of ideas.
We've done a good... It's been a very long blog. I think we're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, we did the 45 minutes.
Yes, 45
good,
minutes. So. Nailed it.
Booyaka. All right, Russ. Tell the people to fuck
off. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been Are You Not Kentertained? We hope that we indeed kentertained you just a little bit tonight, if not a lot of it. We'll see you folks next week, as always. Maybe we'll talk about Hell in a Cell. Maybe we'll talk about how much we hate it. We'll see. Other than that, we're out. Have a good evening. This is for Carrie and Kent. Good night. Kent, can you please strip now?
I'm thirsty.
Wow.